Notice up there kind of on the graphic, and I think this will be helpful to you, we won't necessarily go in this exact order, but we will be looking at these topics. And so we're going to look at the ideas of hope and love and joy. And when we get to joy, you'll see, do you guys see the candles down there? What do you notice about one of them? One of these things is not like the other, something like that, right? Is that Sesame Street, right? One of them is a different color, right? And so when we get to, I'll go ahead and be the spoiler here. When we get to joy, we'll light the pink candle. We'll talk a little bit about why that is just a little bit different. Also, and we didn't have it with our setup here, but some people will have what's called a Christ candle. And so they will actually light the Christ candle either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And so that's what that is called, the well. And so let's get started with, read some scripture first, and then we'll come back to some of these things, and I'll try to explain a little bit of what's going on, and hopefully it'll be encouragement to you for this whole season of Advent. Let's look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verses 25, and we'll go down through 32 to start off with. Luke 2, 25. Through 32. And so Luke writes in verse 25, chapter 2, he says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said," verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Wouldn't it be awesome to actually hold baby Jesus? I mean, that's what he was doing. I can't help but smile when I think about it, all right? That's pretty amazing. What in the world is this thing we call Advent? So I pulled up a little Google card. If you guys are getting familiar with Google cards, and it'll pop up at the top of your search engine. Maybe hard to see a little bit. But the word Advent literally means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Well, that's pretty fitting for this time of year, isn't it, right? So whether you're thinking of Christmas being Advent or the arrival of the Christ child being Advent, that would definitely be notable. A common definition is the first season of the Christian church year leading up to Christmas and including the four preceding Sundays. Okay, so you help me out. This year's a little easier for me. You know why? Because my wife's birthday is on one of the Sundays, so it helps me remember my numbers. Okay? So we have today, which is what? The 27th. So next week we'll have the 4th. And then the week 3, we'll have the 11th, which is Wendy's birthday, in case you need to know that. And then week 4 is the 18th, right? And then what comes the next week? Christmas, right? So when you think about Advent, it is a season that is the four Sundays preceding the coming of Christ, preceding Christmas, okay? Now, I know we haven't done this in our church either. I don't know that we'll ever necessarily do Lent, but some of you guys have probably heard about Lent, right? Anybody heard of Lent? Okay, maybe you've seen people before Easter, they might give up something, okay? Some people will give up certain things. They will only eat, like they eat no meat on Fridays. So you find a lot of people going out to eat fish or whatever on Fridays. You might see on the Tuesday of Lent, you might see people that will put some ashes, right, on their forehead. Anybody ever seen that? Okay. And so what that is, it's just a practice that follows what's known as the church calendar to help people be mindful of the season that is coming, of the passion, of the death of Christ, and of the resurrection. Okay? Everybody kind of have probably heard or at least seen a little bit of Lent, right? Advent is a similar thing, but it's for the Christmas season. Okay? And really, it's not even as much Christmas as it is the idea of coming. And that's what I want to read to you as well. The very bottom definition says the coming or the second coming of Christ. So when you think of Advent, I don't want you to just think of Christmas, okay? It is part of it, definitely. But But I also want you to think of the fact that Jesus is coming again. Does anybody here believe that? All right, if you read the scriptures, you can't escape this truth. Even today, we're talking about heaven, and Charlotte and I were having a good discussion, and Donna about, well, what about, you know, how's it going to be remade, or is it going to be brand new, and all this good stuff, right? Okay, we should be curious about these things, but the scriptures are very clear that Jesus is coming. Now, here's what I want you to take courage in. If we already are celebrating the fact that Jesus came, and before he came, at least 700 years was very clear prophecy. So the prophet said he's going to come. Did he come? Yes. If the prophet said he's going to come again, do you think he's going to come again? Yes. All right? So that's what I would encourage your heart today. And so as you think about Advent and you think about preparing for this idea of the Christ child coming, don't think just about the Christ child who came. Think about the risen Christ that we just sang about, hallelujah, right? That he is coming again. That'll get you just a little bit excited, right? And that's what Advent is about. So it's this time where we try to focus and remind ourselves that, hey, the Lord said that Christ would come and he would be a consolation and he would be a redemption. And he did. And the Lord said Christ will come again and he will set all things in order. He will make all things new. And it will happen, not because I said it, but because the Lord said it would. And this time of year is a time we can really focus on that truth. I think it's such a good thing because I think a lot of times, in my experience, it seems like that churches have kind of neglected the idea of the Lord's second coming. I'm not really sure why. Maybe because we think it sounds a little bit, out of place, or maybe it's been so long. I'm not sure why. But the scriptures are very clear that he is coming. So very literally today, the word Advent means coming. And the idea what we want to do here is use this time, this season, to remind ourselves about the fact that the Lord came and that he is also coming. Now, it's kind of interesting that Advent used to be a very solemn season. Do you think of Christmas as being a solemn season? A sad season? A very serious occasion? No, right? What do you think of? Go ahead. What do you think of? Real quick. Spit out some stuff. I say Christmas. What do you think of? Speak out loud. I can't hear you. Joy. You don't have to be spiritual. What do you think of? Love. Family. Do you know what you think of lights and Christmas cookies and Santa Claus and reindeer and presents? And come on now, is that what you think of? Maybe you don't, maybe you do, all right? We think of it as this really festive time, and it should be. I think it should be a festive time. But Advent actually used to be a very serious, a very solemn occasion. In the last couple hundred years, it's taken on an element of joy. And again, we'll get there in a couple weeks to talk more about that. Now, I want to be clear about this morning, because I think sometimes people can get a little bit, maybe this is why we haven't done this in Baptist churches as much, but there's nothing mystical or spiritual about candles, okay? I think sometimes people think, oh, no, they're lighting candles. What does that mean? And all it is a symbol of the hope that we have, okay? That's all it is this morning. So don't let that disturb you or trouble you in any way. These are just symbols that will help us to remember to keep Christ at the very center of Christmas. And through all the holiday stress, hopefully we'll be reminded to continue to look forward, not just to Christmas Day, but to the coming kingdom, all right? So today we already had Wendy and Brooklyn, I appreciate them helping us out a little bit, and they lit off our candles for us. And I want you to also be aware of this, and we've been kind of hitting this up a little bit on Wednesday nights too. And so you guys, if you want to, I think everybody here would have access that has a phone, if you have any kind of smartphone. You can do it on your computer as well. But the Bible app also has an Advent, you may have heard of this, an Advent calendar, okay? And there are some people who will have in their home, they'll have an Advent calendar, and it will have the 25 days. You might have seen this in some people's homes before. And every day, the kids will do a verse, or they may get a little tiny gift, like a paper card type gift kind of thing, that helps them remember what the season is about. Well, in the Bible app, if you guys go like to Discover in there, you can find actually a daily devotional for the season of Advent. So if you want something that will help you every day and kind of keep you in online and in check, you can go, and it's actually called The King is Coming. Can you pull that up, Diane, so everybody can see that a little bit? Go on past the scriptures that they read. Go ahead and go on down. And so The King is Coming was actually a church put this together, these devotionals, for this time of Advent. And so what I want you guys to do is just you can see the picture so you have an idea of what that looks like. Again, there are lots of different kinds of tools, lots of different kinds of opportunities for Advent. You guys can go, and there's so much anymore, such a wealth of resources, but I want you to be aware of that. So today, as we begin to focus, we're going to look again. You can even see at the very bottom on the slides there, you'll see hope and love and joy and peace, and then ultimately Christ. We're going to look at each of these things as we be mindful of the fact that the Lord has come and that he is coming. So today we're going to look at the fact that the Lord Jesus is our consolation. We're going to look at Simeon's hope. So let's go on back down to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And we're going to catch up again here with Simeon. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Simeon's hope, Jesus is our consolation. If you guys are following on your paper on the back, you can do that. Jesus is our consolation. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Word of God says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. So we run into this guy by the name of Simeon, and Simeon has been waiting for this day for a very long time. If you guys follow along with the scriptures, you will see that at the time of Solomon, that's when Israel was like, it was at its heyday, it was at its height. The temple was gorgeous. I mean, it was amazing. People came from all over to check out Israel, to see the temple, to hear about who Solomon was and what he was doing. But if you guys follow the scriptures, it doesn't take very long. Right after that, you have a split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And then it isn't very long after that, you see the Assyrians will come down from the northern kingdom, and they will carry out a lot of the Israelites out of the northern 10 tribes. And then it's not long after that, and you have the Nebuchadnezzar. You guys are familiar with Nebuchadnezzar, right? Daniel, the lion's den, all that good stuff. And he carries out the southern 2 tribes. And so they're all in captivity. And during this time, and this would be such a hard time, can you imagine being taken from your homeland and being taken to a foreign place? What would be your feelings? Especially if you had known the good. You know what I'm saying? Like if we all got taken out of here, let's say we all got moved to China or South America or North Korea, you know, could you imagine? I mean, look, I just saw somebody's face. They're like, oh boy, North Korea? That's what it was like, okay? They were taken out of their land. I mean, just think of your space even, right? You guys have some nice houses. Some of you guys have a garden or you have a little piece of land. We don't have much, but we have a little property even at our house, okay? And it's our little corner of the world. And now imagine being taken out of all of that, and now you're taken to a place where they speak a different language, they have different culture, different customs. You may or may not, you'd probably be split up from your extended family, if not from your your immediate family. And that's what Israel knew. And they began to long for comfort and long for consolation and long for things to be put back together. Does that sound familiar? You ever been in your life where you're kind of looking for things to get put back together and you felt like they were just, all right? This message is for you today if that's the case. Jesus is our consolation. Well, Simeon passed down from generation to generation. They knew from the prophets, especially in my perspective from Isaiah, they knew that Messiah was going to come. It was clear. They didn't know how it was all going to work out, but they were looking for redemption. They were looking for salvation. They knew Messiah was going to come. And Simeon's characteristics are pretty awesome, I think. He was, the scripture says, he was a devout and a righteous person, a devout and righteous man. In other words, he was serious about the important things of life. Now, you guys know me, and I have a pretty sad sense of humor, I guess, a little bit of one, right? It is great to have a sense of humor, but what we need to make sure that we are serious about the serious things. Can you follow me with that? Okay. Things that are of great importance, we need to treat them that way. Simeon was that kind of person, and he had been looking and longing to see God's salvation. What was so amazing is that he was close with the Lord, so close that the Spirit of God let Simeon know that before he passed away, he would see salvation. He would see Messiah. Or as we read this morning, he would see the Lord's Christ. Okay, the word Christ actually just means Messiah. And Simeon knew in his heart that God had promised that he would see this Christ. He was very sensitive to the Spirit's leading. How sensitive are you today to the Spirit's leading? What do you think? This is where I need a lot of work. Rick's already been encouraging me pretty good. He may not even know that. But we need to take some time to be quiet and to set aside all the busyness so we can be sure that we're following where the Lord wants us to go. How are you doing there? If you get up and your day goes until you go to bed and you have had no quiet time, no silence to listen and to speak to and to hear from the Lord, you are going to miss the Spirit's leading. You're just going to miss it. Right? Simeon was devout and he was righteous and he sensed the Lord's leading by his Spirit. Now, I want to encourage you about this morning. We're going to spend a little more time on this probably in a couple weeks. But there is a definite difference between the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of Christ. And I think even maybe 2 years ago, I did a little like a meme kind of thing that we posted up and shared out about the differences. And we'll hit those up pretty strong in a few weeks. But just for this morning, kind of get you thinking along the lines of Advent. When you think of the spirit of Christmas, what do you think about? Help me out again. I'm going to keep you guys awake this morning. The spirit of Christmas, what comes to mind? What kind of spirit is that? No wrong answer. Just share it out. Okay, lights and Christmas tree, and so that kind of creates a sense of maybe joy or just a coziness, right? What else? What kind of attitudes do people a lot of times display at Christmas time? What? They're happy, right? Good. What else? They're generous. That's why you have your Salvation Army, right? And everybody else is out. Oh, it's Christmas time. I think I'll give a little bit, right? Maybe somebody, you might be one of the lucky ones who's in Starbucks or McDonald's and somebody in front of you pays for your coffee. I don't know, right? Okay. It seems like that stuff happens a little bit more at Christmas, doesn't it? You guys, and I'm going to be probably as much or more as any of you here, except for maybe my wife, that loves, I love lights, I love snow, I love the tree, I love the coziness in the house, I love the decorations. All that stuff is good, and it's not bad. I'm not trying to get you to say that today. But I want you to see that is not the spirit of Christ, necessarily. That's the spirit of Christmas. Okay? What we're looking at today is the spirit of Christ. What the spirit of Christ tells us is not just generous, but generous with purpose. A generous that's a reflection not of just the Christmas season, but of forgiveness that I have found, so I'm going to forgive someone else. The spirit of Christ is about justice. We need some of that today, don't we? Have you guys seen some of those pictures and those people over there in Syria? Some of those little kids in Aleppo? Man, we need some justice, don't we? We need a rescuer to come and show himself. We need to figure out what our part is in all those things. Even here in our city, even as Kay was sharing this morning, we need some justice, don't we, right? We need some people to stand up and not be cowardly, but to be strong and to stand up for the innocent and those who are being harmed and hurt and those who would take away and threaten their security. We need some people to stand up to that. And they're going to need the Lord's Spirit to know when to do that. And that's the Spirit of Christ, okay? The Spirit of Christ is about forgiveness. It's about redemption. It's about true hope. It's not just lights and snow and glitter. And I love all those things. But it's Jesus. Are you following with me now? Okay. So what I encourage you this season, you guys, I know that a lot of us will be even more busy than we normally are from now till Christmas Day. Right? Some of you? Look for opportunity to get still. And so if it's as simple as that little Bible app that I showed you that you can just pull up a page and read through a devotion and look at a scripture and pray and take even 5 minutes to get aside to do that, it will help you out so much. I encourage you, make the extra effort to pray, to listen to the Lord as he speaks to you and your family. So Simeon was that kind of person, devout, righteous, and waiting for Israel's consolation and comfort. Look down, if you would, in verse 27. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." Now, what's going on here, possibly, again, this is a little bit of conjecture, but that Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus for his quote-unquote redemption. Every firstborn was to be redeemed, and maybe that's what's going on here. Numbers chapter 18, if you want to follow along on the screen, you'll see that the book of Numbers says, everything in Israel that is devoted to the Lord is yours. The first offspring of every womb, both man and animal, that is offered to the Lord is yours. But you must redeem every firstborn son, every firstborn male of unclean animals. And when they are a month old, you must redeem them at the redemption price set at 5 shekels of silver, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. In other words, this may have been Mary and Joseph taking baby Jesus for his redemption. He was the firstborn, and they were giving their offering to the Lord to say, in place of our son giving to you at the temple, we're going to pay this sacrifice, if you will. Okay, and it's at this redemption that Simeon has an experience that only few ever had. And the way I've said this before is that he holds God in his arms. Say, what? That's crazy, isn't it? Try to just wrap your mind around that for a little bit. Jesus, if you read Colossians, Jesus is the one who created this earth. The sunshine, the moon, the stars, the grass you see outside, the trees. Jesus is the one who sustains it, and he's the one who created it. And he comes to earth born as this little bitty baby in a stable to this poor little girl named Mary, an old carpenter guy named Joseph. And they're taking him to the temple, and Simeon has been praying for God's salvation. And in walks Mary and Joseph, and Simeon's like, that's it. How did he know? The same way he knew the Lord had spoke to him that he would get to see the salvation. And there for a moment, only a few people ever did this, I'm sure, Simeon holds God in his arms. I don't know. I don't understand it all. I just know it's true. And when you see the results of it, it's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Again, what I encourage you today is if you would follow the Lord's lead and his spirit, you will get to have some amazing experiences in your life just because you're keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Okay? You may not get a hold of God in your arms, but there will be some really amazing things that you get to be a part of if you get to keep in step with God's Spirit. All right. Simeon did that. The Lord honored him, rewarded his faith. And so Simeon cries out something that's so wonderful of us today. What he says is that this little baby is going to be a revelation to the Gentiles. What's that mean? It means that not just the Jews, but now the whole world is going to get to know the salvation of God. God has been on track with this since Genesis, okay? There are some people who would say, oh, God was only for the Jews, and then later in the New Testament, he decided to go to the ends of the earth. But the truth of the matter is the Lord has always been at work in all of the peoples of the earth that they would know his salvation. And Simeon proclaims out the same thing right here. Again, we know Jesus is hope for the world, not just for a certain group, but for all who would come to him and for all who would seek his face. Look down at verse 33. And so the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And so Simeon here just gives us a clear prophecy, doesn't he? Did he cause the rise and fall of many in Israel? You better believe it, right? I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even the government at the time, they were all nervous about Jesus because of the havoc he was creating by proclaiming the truth. But also the rise, so many would be reconciled and would find healing and redemption because of this little baby that Simeon is prophesying about. Even today, it's the same truth, isn't it? Everybody in here know that you smell? See, I think Diane's a little thing that I just told her that she smelled, right? If you study the scriptures, what that means is that you are either going to be a fragrant smell, like a perfume to those that come to Christ, or you'll be the stench of death to those who reject the gift of Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody in here today has a testimony. It can be a good one, it can be a bad one. Everybody's got one. How you live your life, people are watching you. Simeon is laying out the same thing. And Jesus did the same thing with his life. To many, he was a stumbling block, but to many, he was complete healing, forgiveness, and salvation. So here we see, Simeon hoped he would see Messiah. We have the same hope. His hope was fulfilled. Ours will also one day be too fulfilled. We are so thankful for the Lord's coming that brought our salvation, but we look forward with hope to the day in which we are glorified through the power of Christ and the day his kingdom is fully come. Guys, that's Advent, okay? That's exactly it. Celebrate this week. Thank the Lord that he came, that he died, that he rose again, that he brought you forgiveness. Thank the Lord for all of that, okay? If you are hurting, if you are longing for something to be better in your life, pray and ask the Lord who brought consolation to Simeon to bring consolation to you. And then, but just what I don't want you to forget, don't miss out on this, look forward to what is to come. And that's where Advent is a little bit different than just Christmas, okay? Christmas usually looks back at what has happened. Advent looks to what is still to come. And Simeon is a reminder of that. All right, so we see that Simeon here, we see Jesus is our consolation. He comes and he brings comfort to his people. He is a rock of offense, a stumbling stone, but he also will lift and raise up many. He's also going to be our redemption. Real briefly, let's look at Anna and her hope. Look down at verse 36. And so Luke writes in verse 36, he says, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. And she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, do you see any similarities in Simeon and Anna? They're both guided by God's Spirit, and they both spent time with God, didn't they? Anna here is daily, she's fasting, daily she's praying. Her eyes are focused intently upon the Lord. Her father's name, actually, Phanuel, means vision of God or the face of God. So isn't it interesting that even in her dad's name would be some prophecy that would come to pass, that Anna would get to see the Christ child, would get to see the very face of God. If we are going to see with spiritual eyes, we have to set aside time with the Lord. Are you getting that today? I think I've said it 10 times already, but I want you to make it clear. You and I, if we want to keep in step with the Spirit like we talked about in Galatians, we have to set aside time to let everything else take second place. Okay? I don't care if it's your morning routine or your evening routine or your middle of the day lunch routine, whatever. Find some space every day where you can listen and speak to the Lord. This should be dessert, not breakfast, lunch, and supper. Does that make sense? If this is your meal for the whole week, some of you are pretty anemic or pretty thinned out because of your spirituality. If the only place you're soaking in the Lord is on Sunday morning here at Cross Life, okay? But how much better this is if you've been feasting on the word of the Lord and knowing the Lord all week long and singing and worshiping all week long, then this is fantastic, right? Let's work together and encourage each other to do that. Anna prophesies about the Christ child too. We don't get to hear her exact prophecy other than he will be the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, her hope is that Jerusalem will be redeemed, that Jesus will bring it through his cross and his resurrection. Again, but that is not the end of the story. Our Lord is still coming again. Now, how many of you guys, are any of you guys like Camelot and all that kind of stuff? A few of you? No? None of you? You guys familiar with princesses and damsels in distress and that kind of thing? Okay. When we have that picture in our head, what we see is that we see a person who is waiting for rescue, right? And what I want you to see that today, if you are waiting for rescue, that your rescuer is on the way. The help is coming. Jesus is coming. Again, that's what Advent is about. We need a Savior to intercede and to deliver. And as we look around today, we obviously see that, right? We need a Savior to intercede and deliver. And he is coming. And I pray that he will deliver through spirit-filled people, people just like Simeon and Anna, who would know the power of sin and the power of the enemy, and yet they also know the power of the prince who is to come. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, and we'll wrap it up with this idea here about Jesus. Again, as you think of Jesus as a little baby, and I always do, or I think of him as this kind, gentle person, look at Jesus a little differently in Hebrews 9. So the author of Hebrews writes, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself." Simeon held God, right? "Now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way a high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." Do you see the power of the sacrifice of the risen Christ? Jesus died, he shed his blood, he paid the wrath and the penalty for our sins one time so that we could be forgiven. Now look, though, at where he's at. And again, a good reminder about this truth. Verse 27, we focus on the first part. "Just as people are destined once to die, or to die once, and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many." Now notice what it says after that. "And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." He's coming. I don't see you guys, that gets me so excited. Christmas is good, right? I mean, hot cocoa and presents and seeing little kids playing and laughing and all that stuff, that is good. But here's the incredible news that Jesus, he's already paid the penalty. He doesn't have to die ever again. And he is coming again to bring salvation, to make everything right. I want to be a part of that. Don't you? Like Diane shared this morning about her friend that had cancer, yet she had peace, didn't she? When he comes, he's going to make that right. Many of us here have talked about loved ones that we have lost, that know the Lord. But when the Lord comes, guess what's going to happen? We are going to be reconciled with those people that the Lord put us together with initially. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? You guys keep looking at this old body. Wendy and I make fun of ourselves about how many things seem to be breaking down all the time, right? Just gets worse and worse every day. That's the result of sin. It's a result of death. But when the Lord comes and salvation comes, he's going to take care of all of that. We read about that today in our Sunday school lesson too. Advent says redemption, reconciliation, restoration, all those R-E words, they're coming. And I'm ready. So maybe at your own home, as you read a scripture this week, or if you want to light a candle, I don't care. Some people in their homes will light Advent candles. As you think about the candles we light here at church, let that kind of burn that longing in your heart that Jesus' coming is not that far away. All right? I have a hope, a real hope. It's based on the cross and the resurrection of my Savior. And he one day will raise those who have placed their hope in him. He will also one day pour out the wrath of God Almighty and bring real justice to this place as he begins to make all things new. Even as we look forward to celebrating the first coming, the fulfillment of God's words about his son, we look forward to the second coming when all things are made right. So today's reminder is very simple. It's twofold, right? What's the first one? God is bringing your consolation. I know some of you. I know you're tired. I know you're hurt and you're worn out and you wonder, is this ever going to be okay again? And I want to tell you, rescue is coming. The Lord is coming. Hang in there. And be close to him. The Lord is coming. The second thing today, God is bringing about our redemption. We've been in bondage a long time, but the Lord Jesus came to free us from the bondage of sin. And when he comes again, we'll be completely set free, not only from the power, but even the effects of sin and death. I read in Romans chapter 8, we're looking in Sunday school this morning, that the whole creation is groaning, it's waiting to be liberated. What is that going to look like? You know what I'm saying? When the Lord comes and when things are finally made whole and they're all made the way they should be, what does that mean? I don't know. Are the trees going to sing? Are the rocks going to dance? I don't know what that's going to look like. But I know we're going to see all of the glory of the Lord, and it is so much what we want to be a part of. Greater than anything that you have ever known in your time here on earth, all right? Advent is coming, all right? Let's stand this morning.